our church family, one of the items that our church family has been gathering is the cake mixes and the cake icing. So if you're at the store this week and want to pick up some extra boxes, two or three of the cake mix, whatever flavor, and the icing to go with it, we'll do that, have that for Wednesday and for Sunday. We'll cut it off next Sunday, and because time is of the essence now, and we'll be, Sister Deborah's working diligently to collect all of that, getting it ready. So if you want to donate a turkey, I'd love for you to do that when you're at the store. Just sometimes I have buy one, get one free. So do that, or if you want to give towards the event. It's going to be a wonderful time. We've always, it's something that we can do for the community, and it's been a blessing. And we've had other churches are getting involved with us. Brother Todd Bates with Full Gospel has, they've already purchased a lot of our canned goods already for us. And they want to be a part. Brother Todd's going to bring the gospel message at the end. That's going to be good. Mercy Song Revival will be here to sing. That's going to be a wonderful group and to bless us. And out on the parking lot. And Texas House of Prayer wants to be a part of it. And so they're gearing up. They're going to send a bunch of volunteers, Brandon. That'll be a blessing to set up everything early. So Peru team will be giving testimony. Thank you for reminding me of that. Our Peru group, I think there's, what, eight of you total, be going to Peru the first week of December. Oh, my goodness, what a trip. And they'll be giving their testimonies on that Saturday before Thanksgiving. So we're going to have a full two-hour event, but it's going to be wonderful. And so not all of us can go with them on that trip, but we'll be praying for them, and the funds have come in. So thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for your giving. And now we're gearing up for Thanksgiving for that event. So the Lord always provides. Amen. God is so good. And Amber, we know we had to, at the last minute, found out Tara, Galen, we're not going to be here to play. And so we had to come up with our videos for the service. I'm so glad she did. At the last minute, every one of them touched on my message. So I love it when my message is confirmed through our worship songs. And so that's awesome. God is merciful. His light shines upon us. Amen. And what would we do without God's love on us? Oh, my gosh. Where did he bring you from? He picked me up out of the miry clay and set me up on a rock to stay. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right, let's just get right into our word. If you're good for an hour, hour and a half, we're going to go for it. And bring your little snack, you know, get you some cracker. No, I'm just kidding, y'all. I'm kidding. This won't be long. And we'll see what God has for us. Wednesday nights, don't forget, our children and our youth meet on Wednesday nights, 7 to 8. And we're right in here doing Bible study, 7 to 8. Plan on that. Wednesday nights are awesome. But thank you for being here. And I'm anxious to get into the Word today. So let's look at Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 and 2. These are very familiar. Follow along with me. This is from the New King James Version. Arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Amen. Title of my message today. Have you got it up there? We can put up there. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Amen. I've used this scripture of text that we just read a couple of times in the last few weeks. And so again, we have it before us today. And I believe it's just as relevant today as it was when it was written by the prophet Isaiah. Amen. back in his day. And I want to remind you that this scripture will hold true even after Tuesday's election. Did you know that? And so speaking of that, I hope you have used or you will use the freedom that we still have to cast your vote on Tuesday. A lot of folks have already done that, but I encourage you to do that. And I've heard it said that, well, Pastor, I don't get involved in politics and government. Well, my answer to that is that the government is determined to get involved in your life, so you ought to better or be at least get involved and do your part in casting your vote, because every vote counts. Amen? So I want to share some things as the prelude, I guess is what you would call it, to my message this morning. I want to talk to you about some things that I strongly believe in. And so let me just share those with you, and then we're going to get right into the Word, because it goes on into our Word. I, for one, want a secure, closed border. And yes, the immigration program is definitely a broken system that needs fixing for those who are even trying to come in legally. We know that. It's tough. And I believe in a strong military. And I believe our cities need to be they need to fully fund our police and our firemen so that they can do their job. I believe that all lives matter. And I believe life begins at conception. And the unborn is sacred and should therefore be protected in the mother's womb and even after birth. I don't want higher taxes. And I want to keep my rights to own a gun. And I believe in capitalism, where your industry and where our industry and trade is controlled by private ownership. That's what capitalism is. And socialism and communism that is being pushed down our throats have never been proved to work. You can look at Cuba today, still today, and it's a very sad thing. I believe in the family unit consisting of only a man and a woman. And I believe there are only two genders, not 39 genders. Now hold on to your seat, because the easiest way to understand that without being too graphic is one has a spout and one is without. There you go. It's real easy to understand. I can't believe the pastor said that. Well, I did. Okay. I believe our children ought to be protected from genital mutilation. Our 7, 8, 9-year-olds, 13, 14, should not be left to decide who they're going to be. Amen. God did not make a mistake when He created us in the womb. Amen. We don't need tampons in the boys' bathrooms. The schools need to stick to reading, writing, and arithmetic, and not be in the business of indoctrination of a woke culture. Leave sex education to the parents. Take the books out of the library that tells how sweet it is to have two daddies and two mommies. Amen. And we should acknowledge that there is one true God, the creator of the universe, and His name is Jesus, whom we better not deny, but we should be able to acknowledge Him openly. What did He say? Those who deny me, I will deny them to the Father. So if there is one political platform then who believes this way and upholds godly values, and one who doesn't, then it should be very quite easy to decide how to vote, because there's no gray area. Amen? And that's all I'm going to say on that today. I'll say this: whoever it is that holds the office after Tuesday's election does not change what God's plan is for our lives. Amen? We have a work to do no matter what. And as Brandon said, the Lord won't wake up on Wednesday morning and say, oh man, I didn't see that coming. Amen. We're not to worry. We're to be happy in Jesus. Amen. Because no one else can bring us salvation except Jesus. So as the bride of Christ, as the children of Abraham who have been grafted in, who now have all the blessings of Abraham available to us, we should rise up and shine forth the glory of God. God's light has come to us, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon us for the world to see our lives. And as the darkness covers the earth and gross darkness the people, then know that no matter how bad things get around us in the days to come, the Lord shall rise upon us, and His glory shall be seen upon us as His children. People will want to know why you're not living in fear and worry, and why you're walking in such peace and joy. How could you do that when the store shelves have been stripped bare of food and basic essentials, and there's not a roll of toilet paper to be found? What are you going to do? I'm going to be happy in Jesus, because He will supply our needs. Amen? I shared last month how October was a very special time for the Jewish people. And it began with a biblical mandated feast day called the Feast of Trumpets, which ushered in the Jewish New Year known as Rosh Hashanah. And it was followed then with 10 days of intense soul searching that ended with what is known as Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement. And it is said that there's not much attention given to the rest of the year, but they seem to take seriously this time of the year. And again, for Jewish people, there's a certain awe about this time of the year, as they believe that come the Day of Atonement, their names will be recorded in a special book determining whether they live or die. And so they spend those 10 days leading up to that time repenting and asking to be written in the book of life for one more year. As for the church, as the church goes, we ought to certainly be praying and seeking God all the time. Amen? We also need to know that any day is a good day to approach the Lord with the reverence and awe that He deserves. Where we differ is, and I'm thankful, that over 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, our Messiah, came and gave Himself as a sacrifice and once and for all to atone for our sins. Amen. Yet we know the Jewish people in that day rejected Him. So as Christians, as born-again believers who acknowledge Jesus Christ as our Savior and have accepted Him into our hearts to reside as Lord and Master, it's exciting and it's wonderful to know we have been given many great and precious promises from the Word of God that we can stand on. Aren't you glad for the promises that are in this book? And one of those recorded in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16 reminds us that we can boldly enter the throne room of grace on our own and for ourselves to obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that as a child of the Most High God, I can enter into His presence daily, even 24/7, and make my petition known and receive His grace and His mercy. My Bible tells me His mercies are new and fresh to me every morning, and I take advantage of it. Every morning, I tell Him, Lord, I can't do a thing about yesterday. You see what I did. You see what I said. I can't do a thing about it. I'm asking You, Lord, to help me for today. I need Your grace to make it through the day, even to half a day, and I'll pick it back up at noon. But help me to get through till noontime, Lord. But I thank You for Your mercy. I surrender my heart to Him every day. Amen. So I have the opportunity then to repent and turn then from my wicked ways and thank him for what he did for me at Calvary over 2,000 years ago. And I can without a doubt then lay my head on my pillow at night knowing that my name is recorded forever in the Lamb's Book of Life because of what Jesus has already done for me. Amen. That's worth shouting about, amen? And if you have Jesus, then you have this light that is spoken of in our text. If you have this light, then like the prophet recorded, we really can arise and shine. We can be that light in a dark world. Why? Because Jesus is that light. And I want to remind us, just as our text says, there is darkness in the land today, but we have that promise that in the midst of everything dark, the Lord shall arise upon you and his glory shall be seen upon you. Can you say amen? Amen. Now, if you have watched any news lately, you know that the world is in turmoil. And you have to know the world is moving toward a very pivotal juncture in time. And it seems like all the nations listed in Ezekiel 37 and 38 are now lining up to come against Israel. The nations of Israel and Iran are now shooting missiles at each other. And the intensity is growing with each passing day. And as we remember Israel and pray for the peace of Jerusalem, I want to remind you that we need to pray also for the Muslim world. How many know they need Jesus also? Amen. 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 Iran's leaders are aggressively pursuing nuclear weapons while at the same time pledging to destroy Israel and America. Yet with Iran's population being over 60% of 30 years of age and below, they love the West. They love America. And they do not want war. Israel, on the other hand, has sworn that Iran will not get nuclear weapons. Now this is important. Stay with me for just a moment. And they say if Iran attacks them again, the next time they will go after Iran's nuclear program and take it out. And then we have Russia and China. They have said they are going to stand with Iran. And on Friday of this last week, the Russian foreign minister said these words: "Our countries," meaning the U.S. and Russia, "are on the brink of direct conflict, and the outcome of the election will make little difference. And it will be a war that no one wins." Well, we know that kind of war can only be a nuclear war. So we see we have never been closer to another world war. And the Bible speaks of that. We know it's coming. We've seen where the increasing of crippling sanctions on Iran has been at a point now of no avail. It seems inevitable that these two nations, Iran and Israel, will meet in a war that will leave very few survivors, but we know God will have the last say. Amen. Amen. The Muslim world knows that America right now and its European allies are weakened economically. So let me share a moment about Islam. Islam is divided into two major sects. Approximately 80% of the Muslim world is Sunni. They are the descendants of Ishmael, the son of Abram and Haggai. And then the rest are mostly Shiites and some smaller sects. And all of these are the descendants of all the other nations that were round about in the Bible, all the ites. And so these two major groups have coexisted, but they have had an historical hatred and mistrust for each other. And so we find that Iran then is part of that smaller Shiite sect. Saudi Arabia, on the other hand, and its surrounding countries are Sunni. and they are the ones who have signed a peace accord with Israel. Thus, Iran's determination to develop nuclear weapons is not only a threat to Israel, but it's an unacceptable advantage that threatens most of the Sunni world. A nuclear Iran has the potential not only to ignite a catastrophic war with Israel, but it could easily spread chaos and conflict throughout the Muslim world and beyond. However, there is also a third component to determining the future, and that is the God factor. And that is where it's getting exciting. In the last few years, I've read where Christianity has experienced explosive growth in Iran, in their underground churches. Amen. Exciting time. The Lord is exposing the dark side of Islam to the people in Iran. And Jesus is being revealed through visions and dreams. And the people in Iran have come to associate Islam then with hate and war. And they're opening now their hearts to the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. So God is doing something in Iran. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And so as we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, let's all also pray fervently for the church in Iran and in the other Muslim nations, for the people and their leaders. Can we dare to hope for breakthrough in these areas? Absolutely, we can. So let's continue to pray for our own leaders and for America, no matter who is in office after this election. Amen. As followers of Jesus Christ, then, let's not forget the God factor when we pray about the future. We are in His hands. Did you know that? As His children. And there's not anyone that can pluck us out of His hand. He's got us. And as Johnny Cash's song says, it's going by the book. It's going by the book. As we look at our scripture text again today, I believe we could agree that we all have those days when we are up and everything is going great. And then there are those days that we're not swinging by the chandelier. We want to just stay in our pajamas and dip our Oreos in our glass of milk or in our coffee. And we want to watch a marathon of Matlock or a marathon of Charles Bronson. And anybody ever have days like that? You just want to stay in your pajamas, not go out, not talk to anybody. And of course, our younger folks, they don't know of anything about Charles Bronson. It's all about John Wick today, I think. But anyway, to be honest, we all have those days that are not as bright as other days. If we had the time, we could take the day and all of us could share about those days and the battles that we all fight. And if the truth be known, the battles that we face are often intense times of weakness and times of distress and times of confusion. Yes, I've had those days where it was confusing and I had to stop and get myself together and say, Lord, you got to help me. My mind is going crazy today. And if the events of our lives were charted upon a graph, these possibly would be the lowest points. Yet the word that I have for us today is the fact that God is no less with us during difficulties than at other times. In fact, our darkest days, which we hear described as, and we often refer to as our valleys, listen now, our darkest days or our valleys are, watch this, are often as much the plan of God as our mountaintop experiences are. Did you hear what I said? Much of the time, our valleys are a plan of God. He can work through that as we're going through those valleys as our mountaintop experiences. There is a story in the Bible that speaks plainly to this truth. Israel had recently defeated the Syrians in a mountain battle. And in 1 Kings chapter 20, beginning with verse 22, here's what it said. Then the prophet came near to the king of Israel and said to him, go strengthen yourself and observe and see what you have to do. For at the turn of the year, the king of Syria will come up against you. Now the servants of the king of Syria said to him, their gods are gods of the mountain. Therefore, they were stronger than we. But rather, let us fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. So we see here, then the enemy said that the God of Israel was a God of the mountain. But if they fight the Jews in the valleys, they would defeat them. And then we read in verse 28. Then a man of God came near and spoke to the king of Israel and said, thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, the Lord is a God of the mountains, but he's not a God of the valleys. Therefore, I will give all of this great multitude into your hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Woo! So here's what we need to get down in our spirit today. No matter what the enemy tries to tell you, remember that Jesus Christ is God of the mountains and he's also God of the valleys. I hope you get that today. He has not stopped being God because you happen to be in a valley. He has not stopped being God in what you may think or what I may think is our darkest hour. He won't stop being God after Tuesday. Did you know that? He is the God of glory, and he proves it to us over and over through his mighty power and his miracles. And it's in those valleys, in those low places, in those places of uncertainty that he reveals himself then as faithful and good and loyal. Amen. And he really is committed to us in and through all of our difficulties and our distresses. Again, he is committed to you and me as his children. We have a covenant with him, Brother Tony. When we're weak, he promises to be our strength and take care of us. When we're without, he promises to provide. Amen. In all things and through all things, he is our God. When we're on the mountaintops of our Christian experience, we can most of the time just see our future clearly. We have perspective. And we have confidence in those times. But have you ever realized that it's when we're in one of life's valleys, our vision seems to be limited and our future seems hidden? Lord, you see what I'm going through. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't really know what to do. We just can't seem to see clearly what's ahead. Yet, listen to this now. Valleys are also the most fertile places on earth. And yes, valleys produce fruitfulness. You can expect there to be a harvest of good things when God dwells with you in the valley. Now listen to this portion of Scripture from Psalms 84, verses 5 and 6. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca, I used to say Baca, but it's really pronounced Baha. So, who passing through the valley of Baha makes it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. Baha, the valley of Baha, means weeping. Each one of us, for the most part, in here today, could testify to the fact that we have had those times of weeping when our hearts and our hopes were crushed. Has your hopes ever been crushed? Yeah. Amen. What you thought was going to happen did not happen. However, because God has planned in our hearts what we could call highways to Zion, we pass through valleys. We do not live in them. In other words, we don't stay in the valley. So many stories in the Bible begin with, and it came to pass, and such happened. Meaning it wasn't going to stay like that. So passing through the valley of Baha, once we're on the other side of weeping, our Redeemer makes it a spring of living water. The very things which overwhelmed us will in time refresh us with new life. The psalmist wrote these words for us. Weeping may endure for the night, but what comes? Joy comes in the morning. So whether we are experiencing then the height of success and power, or we find ourselves on a dark day in a valley of weakness and despair, remember the Lord is our God continually. Let me ask, has the enemy ever isolated you, causing you to even doubt God's love at times? Do not forget that while the Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loved us in our mess, Brother Tony.
Yes,
he loved me in my mess. Amen. It is His love for us then that redeems our hardships, which not only brings good out of what was meant for evil, but guess what? It also trains us to be able, Brandon, to help others. The things that we go through, He will help us and learn from those things that we can also be able to be a strength to somebody else. Yes, I know what you're going through. I have been the same place. I'll tell you what helped me and what I did and how I overcame and how I got out of that pit. That's what we're here for. So how did Jesus prepare to do all of His wonderful works? Part of His training, yes, it involved suffering. Christ, the Bible says, was a man of sorrow. He was one who was acquainted with grief. Yet His suffering, listen, was the Father's means of acquainting Him with the actual feelings of mankind's need and pain. Because He suffered what we suffer. He suffered what we ourselves suffer today. He is able then to, through that, able to serve then as our faithful high priest. So if we yield then to God's plan for Christ to be formed in us, God will take our sorrows and He will enlarge our hearts. And once again, we've been acquainted with grief. So then when we then can be anointed with compassion to help others. When we've walked through the grief, and He's helped us and healed us and brought us out of that and brought joy back to our lives. Weeping came, but it's past now. Then with that, we can go and comfort somebody else. Let's consider for just a moment the life of Joseph. One of my favorite characters of the Bible. One of many. How's that? He was the second youngest of Jacob's sons and his father's favorite. His walk with God began with dreams and visions as a young boy. Joseph's life is a pattern for many who have had a genuine call from God. Our walk with God may also have begun with what we could maybe call a travel brochure of dreams and visions. Did you know that God gives us a picture then of His destination for us? He'll show us what He has planned for us. But what we do not see and what remains hidden till its time is how his promises will come to pass in our lives. It's like a set of plans. The Lord showed me that one time. You know, when you're in construction or whatever it might be, you're looking at a set of plans and there's 15 pages to those blueprints. And you're going one page at a time. You can't look at them all at one time, but you read the first one and you do what that first one says and you turn the page. And that's what he does about our lives. He'll show us one page at a time in our lives. Joseph was betrayed by his brothers and delivered up by them to die. He was unjustly accused when Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him. He was imprisoned and he was forgotten by everybody except God, who was patiently watching. And listen to this now. He was also measuring Joseph's reaction to difficulty. Rich or poor, blessed or smitten, we find that Joseph still served God. He was being tested, but guess what? He continued to pass each and every test that came before him. Let me ask, have you passed your test? Joseph was on trial before men, but he was found innocent before God. And finally, at the right moment, the Lord suddenly connected all the loose ends of Joseph's life. Everything that Joseph went through would have seemed cruel and unfair, except the Lord was shaping a man for his purpose. He was going to use Joseph in the later years. And I want you to see this today, that God uses everything then, listen to this, God uses everything that we go through for future purposes that he alone sees. We do not always see his ultimate plan while we are in these valleys, or what may seem our darkest hour. We may not see the other side, but we've got to remember the vision, that keeping faith in what God has promised us. What did we sing about? He'll take us through the fire. He'll take us through the floods. Amen. And just as he allowed Joseph to go through many trials, guess what? He allows us to go through our own conflicts as well. Well, why is that, you might ask? Again, because he knows what our lives and what we have become through his grace will help others find the stronghold of God in their lives as well. Amen. As children of God, as Christians, as believers, we're not to stay to ourselves. We're to be able to share others the testimony of our lives and tell of what God has done for us. Genesis 41:51 says that Joseph named his firstborn son Manasseh. Here's what it meant. For he said, God has made me forget all of my trouble and all my father's household. Listen, God caused Joseph to forget the difficulty and the pain of his life. There's something wonderful then about the Lord's capacity to cause all things to work for our good. With Jesus then in our lives, a time ultimately comes when God causes us, watch this, to forget all the troubles of the past. We have to let it go. If we will let it go, guess what? God takes it. God takes it. And it's not something that we have to dwell on day after day. Well, I remember what they did. I remember what happened to me. I won't forget. No, forget it. Give it to God. That's where your healing comes. Amen. The devil reminds us of our past. He knows how to bring it up. But God reminds us of our future. With Jesus in our lives, a time ultimately comes when God causes us to to forget all the troubles of the past. And Joseph named then his second son Ephraim. Here's what it means: for God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. God made Joseph fruitful in the very things that afflicted him. For us today, just know that in your darkest hour, in the middle of your valley, in the land of your affliction, in your battle, is the very place where God will make you fruitful. And this is for somebody today. Consider what you're going through right now. What might just be the area of greatest affliction in your life. And in that area, listen, God will make you fruitful in such a way that your heart will be fully satisfied and God's heart will be fully glorified. Ultimately, the Lord, through your experience, the Lord, through your testimony, the Lord will touch many others with the substance of what you have gained in your life. In a world that is superficial, in a world where everything is shallow and surface, just know that Jesus Christ will produce something in you that is deep and that is living. My word to you then today is that God has not promised to keep us from valleys and suffering, but He has promised to make us fruitful in those valleys. I believe I could say without a doubt and without hesitation, each one of us will pass through some valley before we reach our final goal in God. But as we remain faithful to Him in those trials, and as darkness covers the earth around us, listen, the glory of the Lord will rise upon us. Meaning the very character and nature of Christ Jesus will emerge in our spirits. His glory then will shine as a light through us and reveal to all of those around us. Listen, His intentions for our lives are to make your life the key that unlocks God's stronghold for others. Would you allow Him then to work His glory in you and through you? Would you just say this after me as we close? And I'm going to be through. In fact, let's all just stand together. How's that? And we'll just say this quick declaration. Hallelujah. Would you say this after me? Lord, You truly are God.
Lord, You truly are God.
Of the mountains and the valleys.
I acknowledge
that Your faithfulness is my shield. Thank You for redeeming all the conflicts of my life. I praise You for healing me and causing me to forget all the trauma of my life. Help me to recognize that through You, my valleys can become the place of my fruitfulness. In Jesus' name. Amen. Would you look at somebody and say, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let Him work through your valleys, your distresses, the things that you go through. Let Him work in it. That way you'll be a blessing to somebody else. Amen. Father, I thank You for what You have done for us. Thank You that You've brought us to this place today. It was not a coincidence. This was an appointed time for Your people. So I thank You today. Help us to take this word, Lord. Let it go deep into our hearts. Let it not be stolen by the birds of the air. Help us to remember to stand on Your word. I thank You today that You're always there, that You promise never to leave us or forsake us. And so, Lord, I speak blessings over your people as we go from this house today. And, Lord, you see the needs of every person. Meet every need, Lord. Show us the way. Direct our steps and bring us back to that appointed time.